Hello and welcome to another edition of the In Context podcast. Today I have Steve Neal with me and I'm Ian Williamson. How are you doing, Steve?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling encouraged from the last Medhurst Weekender. How did you find that, bruv?
Yeah, really, really good. Lots to talk about, really. I thought the ministry was excellent. We had four just really heartfelt, convicting talks that I just thought were brilliant. We had a brilliant venue. So the guys from Caring for Life in Leeds put us up, and yeah, that was fantastic. And I think the thing that encouraged me most was that we were about 50% new folks, who we didn't really know, we weren't really engaging with particularly beforehand, but about 50% of the people there were not from Medhurst churches and were looking at, whether they could serve in a deprived community somewhere and whether they could link up with our churches and that kind of thing. And I just thought that is so encouraging to see guys there who are just asking the question. You know what I mean? Even if they don't end up in a deprived community, I just thought the fact they're asking the question, yeah, that really excited me.
Yeah, it was very exciting for me. We didn't know how it was going to go. We've changed the venue. Normally we would meet at a council estate church, and that was so that it would just encourage the members of the churches where we were. It was also good because people could see a different church in a similar context, but with different trials and troubles. But as people who were coming had more and more children, churches weren't geared up for kids' work or for having children there, and it was often very sunny. And what we found out was because we were just having one talk after another, there was very little time to network or to fellowship, and the kids didn't have much time to play and enjoy the sun. So that we thought we'd change the venue to Caring for Life, and it was absolutely awesome. There was, I think, 36 kids there with a couple of bouncy castles. So how did you think the venue changed? How did you think that impacted the Medhurst Weekender then?
Yeah, I think there was more space, so that made life easier. I mean, Caring for Life's got a beautiful site, so it's not just the immediate venue where we were meeting, but they've got cafes on site, they've got places you can go and buy ice cream, you've got space to set up like bouncy castles for the kids. I think that space was really helpful because you could mingle with different people. Often when you're at the back of a church and you're just all crammed in, it's very hard to have a useful conversation with anybody. Whereas there was just loads and loads of space for us. So I thought that was good. I thought having a place for the kids to go out and do stuff was brilliant. I think it was a central venue as well. I think that's quite key. Very often we've gone up to Middlesbrough. I think that, good reasons for doing that. As you say, you can see a local church in action. Problem is, if you're coming from Birmingham, that's quite a trek. And if you're coming from somewhere down south to try and see whether this is somewhere you can serve, I mean, you've got a 6 or 7 hour drive ahead of you on a Friday. It's just difficult. Whereas sticking it in Leeds, I mean, Leeds is pretty central, kind of like Oldham is. So you're relatively middle of the country, really. And I think that's massive for people. Just makes it a bit more accessible for them to get there. So I think those things were quite important for us. How did you feel about it in terms of how the venue operated?
Oh, I loved it, mainly for all the things you've said. Beautiful venue in the countryside, lots of things for people to do. We had bouncy castles, but we knew if it rained, there was a huge barn we could have put the bouncy castles in, so that wouldn't have mattered. So the venue was just great, but I think the staff, just so servant-hearted. The food that they prepared. This was the first year that we provided food, and the food was exceptional. And just that, seeing the servant-heartedness of the staff who were serving us, setting everything up. Johnny in particular, and Pam Morgan. Everything was just so from car parking to the food to everything just went like clockwork. So just give massive thanks to the Caring for Life team and for Johnny and Pam. That was awesome. But again, I think the venue for the worship and for the teaching was wonderful as well. Knowing that the kids had special designated places for their teaching as well, it just meant that everyone could relax and listen to some fantastic, encouraging and convicting sermons.
Yeah, I think it's particularly important that when you go somewhere like that, and I know a lot of our churches just don't have the ability to have kids work and things like that. And I think it's really important that pastors who are coming away to something are able to actually just hear the word and listen to the word and engage with it without having to worry about where their kids are and what their kids are doing and all of that sort of thing. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have your kids with you in church and all of that. I think there's a lot of good to be to that. But at the same time, I think there is good to be had for saying, look, just have some distraction-free ministry. And I thought that was provided, which was fantastic.
In particular, the first night, I think listening to Matthew Spanler Davison, who's the chair of Medhurst Ministries, he was speaking on trusting in the Word of God and how he referenced, like, Paul. His primary aim for ministry was he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he focused on, no matter what was going on in his life, whether he was in prison or whether the ministry seemed to be falling apart, he was just always content and joyous that first and foremost he was just Jesus's chosen and a workman for Jesus. So yeah, how did you find that talk?
Matthews in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. I mean, as I said before, I think all of the talks were really helpful. All of them were very good. The two actually that stood out for me were Mez's. So particularly speaking about I think he was talking about prayer and how the prayer that Paul was praying was that we just know more of the love of Jesus for us. I found that very convicting, just because actually an awful lot of my discontent, I think, stems from the fact that I don't really know the love of Jesus as deeply and as well as I should. And I'm going to Jesus, go, well, I need this today and I need that today, and can you sort this out for me? Rather than just saying, look, if I knew that you love me, then the rest of it wouldn't really matter so much. So I found that really helpful. And I thought John Parkinson's talk was excellent as well. They were the two stand out for me. John was really speaking about who the poor and needy are, how we can reach the poor and needy, what we're called to do, how we're called to do it, why we're called to do it. Again, it was just a real helpful reminder to me, really, and all across the talk set. I mean, and that's not to knock, that is no slight at all on yourself or Matthew, whose talks I thought were both really good as well. The whole thing was just so gospel centered and so focused on what I guess we all know is pretty, in many ways, pretty basic stuff, but it was just such a good reminder, of why we do what we do. It's for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ and his glory, and then for the sake of loving his people, and ultimately trying to find the people that he has for himself in the places where he puts us.
Yeah, for me it was just like a domino effect of conviction starting on the Friday night with Matthews, who again just reminded us, like, why are we in ministry? It's not for ministry's sake, it's for Jesus's sake. Well, really for our sake, isn't it? And then and to tell people what Jesus has done for us. And again, I think just looking at every time we struggle in ministry, every time we get frustrated or try and measure our value or measure our success, we look at practical things, we look at numbers, or we don't look at who Jesus is and what he's done for us very often, do we? And just being reminded of that. So that for me was hugely convicting, especially as someone who preaches that's what you're supposed to do. But very rarely does it himself. And then with Johnny's in the morning, again, that was equally convicting. kind of reminding us who the important people are. Like he rubs shoulders with royalty, and those on the margins. He goes from one extreme to another, Johnny, and he's just the same, isn't he? Whenever he can be with royalty, or he can be with the forgotten in the gutter, and he's still the same. Loves Jesus and loves those that he's talking to. And in particular, he was sharing about one of the guys that he's been supporting for a long time, and the evangelism from him and the value that he shows in them was just again so convicting. And thinking, wow, you pride yourself on going to seminary or reading certain books, or and then you've just got some guy who has served on a farm for 30 years, had been forgotten by society until Johnny's dad took him in, and one of the best evangelists going. All he's read is the Bible.
But ends up sharing the gospel with the, one of the royals. Do you know what I mean? I think that was fantastic. And I did, and in many ways, I thought that was such a good picture as well, because it's someone who, the world would potentially look down on. Do you know what I mean? They've got nothing really to offer. We, if at best, it's going to be we're going to patronizingly help them, And actually, you go, but there's someone who, because they're not bothered about normal social rules and things like that, actually ends up doing stuff that's far better and more bold than I would do. Do you know what I mean? And it's excellent. And I think there's so much you can learn there from them, isn't it? And it's even going that the ministry we're doing, it's not us patronizing people, is it? And certainly shouldn't be us going in and patronizing people and saying, look what we're going to do for you. It's us going out in the, the spirit, but because we love the Lord Jesus, and more importantly, because he loves us, and we go out and we want to invite people into that, and it's not that we're doing anything for them, really. And in many ways, they, as we serve them, we'll find they may even do far more for us. But it's in that knowledge that the gospel is good and it's good news for everybody, and we want other people to experience that goodness, and whoever will hear it, they're the important people that we're there to reach.
And it just reminded me of like how missionaries used to speak of mission to a certain people group, and now they've changed from saying that to mission with people, and that's exactly what Johnny was talking about, wasn't it? It's not mission to the poor or to the deprived or the council estate. It's mission with the people that we're working with, that we're there to share and to learn from one another. And again, when you were talking about this guy, it's hilarious when to give some context to it, how this royal had said to him, "What's your name?" And he said, "Oh, my name's so and so, so and so. I'm a born again Christian. Are you a Christian?" And the royal replied, "I think so." And then his response was, "Well, it's no good thinking so. You need to know so. I'll be praying for you." So I just thought that was absolutely that boldness and innocent, and it wasn't like a smartness, was it? It was just like a humble desire to see that person saved, and how much can we learn from that?
Yeah, just an amazing reflex, wasn't it, from someone who loves Jesus?
And then again, moving from Johnny's talk to Mez's talk, again, that was for me just. I think that was the balm I needed after feeling convicted from the first two sermons. That was the comfort and the cuddle off Jesus that I needed. So unusual to say that Mez brings the balm. But yeah, that was awesome again, wasn't it? Just to, and I think how often it's not just that we don't understand the fullness of God, the love of God, but often we don't care. We can be so consumed with wanting to be full with other things that we want to be full with success in our ministry or admiration or respect or a comfortable life, but we forget that the only fullness we'll get is knowing the depths of Jesus' love for us. That was an awesome talk.
I mean, I think it's a danger, actually, for a ministry like ours that we're doing, or churches like ours that we serve in, is you can get so caught up in the busyness, and you can get so caught up even in the worthiness of the cause And whenever anyone asks you why you're there, it's because, well, these people need the gospel, and the gospel's so important, and the gospel's vital for them, and it's life-saving for them, and that's why we're doing it. And all of that is true to a degree, but actually it's not fundamentally why we're there, is it? Actually, it's very easy to tell ourselves that. But it's not fundamentally why we're there. We're there because Jesus loves us. That's why we're there. And if we just knew more of that love of Christ, we would be there not because we've got work to do and, Jesus needs us, because he doesn't. And it's not because, we've got work to do and it's so vitally important, because actually, the Lord can save all those people without us anyway. Really, we're there because Jesus loves us, and because we love him, because we've experienced that love, and all we're really doing is inviting people into that, aren't we? And I think when you see people and the difficulty of their lives and the daily struggles that they're dealing with, you just think, if they just knew the love of Jesus as well, if they could just experience that, it's not that their problems would go away, but they would just have something deeper and better and more satisfying and more longer lasting. And again, that's what we're about, isn't it? And we're actually quite poor ambassadors a lot of the time when we're sitting there going, this work's so important and I'm here and I've got to do it. And actually, that isn't really the heart of somebody who's just gone, Jesus loves me so much, and it's so brilliant that I want other people to have it. That's the heart of a worker, in it, who's basically had enough of their job. And that's what I found convicting about it. And we don't need to pray, do we, for Jesus to meet all those needs primarily, that our biggest need is that we just know more of his love. I thought that was very, very helpful.
And them free talks has really helped shift the my talk at the end, which I changed the first illustration off the back of those talks, because I'd just been convicted how in all three areas I'd failed, and I was looking at Jesus and the temptation and how the devil tempted Jesus to turn the stones into bread, and which is not a huge thing, is it? Bread we all need to eat, and I think just looking at the main point was basically how the devil can use godly desires and us to want things that aren't in particularly sinful, but to achieve them through ungodly ways. So Jesus wasn't to turn bread into stone just because he was hungry. That would have been using his power for his own benefit rather than for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. And it just got me thinking of how a lot of my godly desires and ministry have or started off as godly desires and things that I'd sought when they weren't coming through prayer. You start thinking, how can I get them through other means? Whether that's blagging on a podcast or writing an article or whether it's exaggerating on a funding bid and saying that you're speaking with 500 people a week when really you've just said hello to them and just embellishing things and things like that. So yeah, and again, how even when that hasn't worked, think, well, do you know what? It's hard doing this ministry. I've done my time. Let's wrap in and go and find an easier ministry elsewhere or whatever. And just basically thinking every time I fell foul to the lies of the devil or my own sinful heart, it's been because I wasn't enacting the message from the previous three sermons, was being thankful that I'm chosen by God and I'm in ministry for Jesus because of him, not because of me. That I'm not really reflecting people, that I can see people that I'm supposed to be serving and hanging around with, the marginalised, and thinking, do you know what? I'd rather sit with the millionaires I'm asking for money off than the people who I'm asking for money for. And then the third one, not really understanding the love of Jesus myself whilst trying to tell other people about it. So, yeah, I don't know. I think we can all fall foul to those lies. in all kinds of ministry. It's not just restricted to council estate ministry, is it? Or ministry in areas of deprivation.
It's different things hit different ones of us in different ways. I mean, unlike you, I wasn't convicted that I would rather be sitting with millionaires than with the poor, because I wouldn't. I know what we get on better with. That wasn't a problem to me, but I absolutely struggle with the problem of going, but I'm doing all of this. I'm banging my head against a brick wall. Why isn't this being blessed? Why aren't I get, you know what I mean? I have more of that sort of problem, really. Particularly when I think this is exactly what you're talking about. I'm convicted in my heart, and I'm not even sure I'm wrong that this is a really important ministry that people aren't taking as seriously as I think they ought. I don't think that's wrong. I think that probably does reflect something at the heart of God that you see in scripture. So I've even got a bit of like righteous justice on my side about it, haven't I? And I get a bee in my bonnet about why no one else is doing it. And what is a godly desire? Yeah, I think the devil gets in, doesn't he? And he turns it and makes it into, you know, something so ungodly. And I say the devil, you know, that to some degree, I don't want to pass the buck, because, you know what I mean, it's just my own sinful heart is turning around and going, what starts as a godly right principle of justice and a ministry that I think is important purely because I think it's largely overlooked, suddenly becomes really about, and I'm the one doing it, or no, more other people aren't doing it and just getting unrighteously angry that no one else is doing it. And then I get convicted and sit there and go, I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but it was at the weekend though where I was saying it's very easy to get het up about that. No one's coming. I'm the one who's there and no one's coming and I'm doing all the work. But then I think, you know, my brother went to China and he was doing ministry work in China, and I never had the slightest desire to go there. Do you know what I mean? It's very easy for me to, you know, self-righteously say I've gone to the hard place and I'm doing this hard work and look at me and aren't I wonderful? And I think, but I didn't have a bar of the other hard places that I didn't want to go to, did I? So I'm just very often convicted by that, really. And again, what I found helpful about the ministry was just bringing us back to, we're not there for that anyway. Do you know what I mean? You're there because Jesus loves you. Jesus called you. Jesus came to save you. You belong to him now, and if you knew more of his love, none of this would be a problem.
And I think that's what was transferable across, was basically wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we need to know Jesus. We need to understand his love for us, and we need to be sharing his love with others. And I think for me, another thing that I found convicting, and I hope that I was able to show some of these people that had come along to the weekender, some of the people we'd never seen before, some of which thinking they were going to speak to some experts to find out how to do council estate ministry. And
Well, that was their
I,
first mistake, wasn't it?
yeah, yeah, yeah. And they ended up leaving knowing that they were just speaking with a load of losers who love Jesus and Jesus loves them. I think the biggest thing that was taken is it's not rocket science, is it, ministry? Wherever we're ministering to, it's just those foundational things. It's the gospel. It's understanding the cross, what we've been saved from and what we've been saved to, and sharing that with others. And when we're feeling low, being encouraged that whatever we're struggling with is temporary and our hope is eternal. And I think that was the overall message of that weekend. And I think a lot of people left encouraged, knowing that you don't have to be an addict. You don't have enough experience of council estate ministry. Like the couple that you mentioned earlier, before we started the podcast, who have been missionaries abroad and have retired and want to go and serve a church somewhere and like to do it on a council estate. And
Oh, I'm so encouraged by them. You know, just again, even if they don't come, even if they don't end up somewhere, just the fact that it is on their agenda at all to even go, could we be more useful somewhere? They're from the southeast. They've been in part of a, frankly, quite you know, well-to-do, middle-class, affluent churches that would be very comfortable for them to go back into. It's where they currently are. but they're just asking that question, could we be more useful for Jesus somewhere else? And do you know what? That if I had almost anyone coming up to me saying that, do you know what I mean? I'm just so encouraged by it, because and again, I don't mind if the answer ultimately ends up being no, for whatever reason. For the same reason that I was saying before, I never went to China to serve alongside my brother because, you know, I didn't feel that was the appropriate place for me to be for a whole host of reasons. So I don't mind if the answer ends up being no, but where I get, I guess, frustrated is when it's not even on the agenda and can't even be countenanced as a question. You know, would I be more useful somewhere else? But just to see people asking that question, it's just wonderful. I think it's because that's all you all. I think if our ministry accomplishes anything, if more people are asking, could I be more useful somewhere else? Could I go and serve the Lord somewhere else, particularly in an area that doesn't currently have the gospel? Even if, you know, 90% of those people don't end up going, I will be encouraged that we've even put that on their agenda so that they're asking the kind of question that I think Jesus wants us to ask.
So, having said that, do you think you're going to consider buying a pair of red jeans, eating couscous and hummus, and moving to Mayfair to do ministry to millionaires?
I mean,
Going to consider it, brother.
never say never is what I'd say.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, no, that is exactly, I think, for me, a reminder of like, we as Medias Ministries and not there to give all the answers, and we're not there just to encourage, we're there to be encouraged as well and to learn from others. And I think listening to that couple was a huge encouragement. And I think although we put on the weekender, I've come away probably as encouraged, if not more, than many of the people who attended it. Yeah, and looking forward to the next one, which will be hopefully again in June next year at Caring for Life, if he'll have us back. I haven't rang to see what damage was done, if any. But also, we're hoping to have one in the Midlands soon. We were planning to have one in November, but I think that's a bit too close. The dates we had is too close to the FIEC conference, so we're going to reschedule that hopefully for the beginning of 2027. We are in 26 now, aren't we?
We are, yeah. Where will the
That'll
Midlands one be, Ian?
be at Holbrook's church, in Evangelical Church in Coventry. So I'll have to double check with Ben Holmes about that, and I'll announce that date shortly.
Fantastic.
Cool. Have you got anything else you'd like to say on the matter, brother?
What, I'm having another weekender.
On anything about moving to Mayfair to your
Oh,
new
moving to
millionaire
Mayfair,
ministry?
yeah. If the money's right, Ian. I can be bought.
Brilliant. Yeah, me too. Hey, dear. All right, brilliant. Well, we'll end it there then. And thanks for joining me on the In Context podcast.
You later.